Sometimes you choose courage, and at other times it's forced upon you. Courage Unraveled is a podcast series where you get to listen to insights, discussions, conversations, and stories from people from all walks of life. You'll be served with dollops of courage, resilience, and strength here. So come along and be educated and inspired. You just may find new ways to flex your own courage muscle. My name is Sana Turnock, and I'm your host. Donna Campese is a driven and passionate woman. What has made her this way? It would be fair to say that having a stroke at the age of 7, being diagnosed with diabetes at 14, and being told you are unlikely to talk or walk again would have something to do with it. Donna could have accepted her circumstances and be living a very different life today. Instead, with determination and ongoing support from her parents, hospital staff, allied health professionals, and others, Donna became known as the Miracle Girl. Find out how she defied the odds to walk and talk, run a 42-kilometre marathon, and go on to become a writing coach, keynote speaker, podcaster, and author of 4 inspirational books. It's a real privilege to be able to share these inspiring podcasts of courage with you. The work undertaken takes many hours to put together and is self-funded. Become a Courage Unraveled patron on Patreon, and not only will you be supporting the podcast, you will also be helping yourself by investing in your own courage. Get access to pre-release episodes and Patreon-y specials. It's easy being a patron, and the first tiers are less than 2 coffees per month. Cultivate and flex your courage muscle by signing up for a one-to-one Grow Into My Courage program and grab your very own journal. You grow your courage muscle by activating it. Listen to the podcasts, grab yourself the courage journal, sign up to the Grow Into My Courage program, and become a patron. After this episode, head over to courageunraveled.com. It's all happening there. Grow into your courage today. Hello, Donna, and welcome to Courage Unraveled, the author series.
Oh, it's great to be here, Sana. Thanks for having me.
A real pleasure. Before we explore your books, let's get a sense of a major life experience you had that has been the catalyst for what seems to be your life's work. It's fair to say that you've lived a life of grit from an early age. You had a stroke at 7 years of age. Your parents were told it was unlikely that you'd walk again or even talk again. Did you and your parents believe it at the time?
My parents are amazing people. They had great faith, I think. I wasn't even told till probably while I was writing the book, The Unlikely Marathoner. I spoke to my parents, checked some things with them as I wanted to, because I was very young, as you know, 7 years of age. And I just had conversations with them about it that I only just found out myself before completing the book. My dad said to me, "You're lucky to be alive, Donna, and that you would never walk or talk again." And I didn't realize this severity of it until he told me that. And he even said they compared you to a boy, because I was in intensive care and there was another boy lying there in intensive care, and he had tubes and everything attached to him and sort of no response in his eyes and had to be tube fed. They even said to my parents, "Don't be surprised if Donna ends up going home like this." But my dad said to me in that same story, he said, "Donna, you had this look in your eye. I could tell that there was something going on." And perhaps that's what gave my parents hope and faith, and they have a really strong faith and they're very strong people. I cannot imagine what they would have been through to go through that with 4 young children and me being the youngest and going through that.
That's right. Parents kind of shield their kids, don't they? So I guess you were shielded from a lot of that. You know, you're really young. It's hard to understand certain things. So there's also that. What was it like actually growing up? Can you give us a sense of what home life and schooling was typically like for you during that time?
Home life was my brother and 2 sisters. They were older than me, like I said. They treated me fine. I was never spoken about like Donna's disabled, and I never even used that term, and no one ever did in my family. I was the youngest child, so always wanting to keep up with my brother and sisters. And I was probably like that before, I imagine, and quite an active child and pretty normal. I think being treated that way at home and even at school, the kids at school had, because I'd been to school and then I had to to, from being in a country town and having to go to the city in Melbourne to the hospital, everyone knew that I was in a serious way, and the students knew. And so when I came back, I didn't feel like anyone had treated me differently, except for the obvious things that I came back in a wheelchair and had to have sort of things, you know, I would go to the physio still every day, even after leaving hospital and stuff like that. So it wasn't a click your fingers and there I was better. It's been such a long process to get where I am. And I don't remember anyone treating me any different, which I'm really pleased about. And probably because I didn't want to be treated differently. So I was probably just as determined in my attitude.
And perhaps that's what your dad kind of saw in you, was that in your eyes, you know, that determination. I wanted to ask you, what qualities did you have as a child that helped you defy these odds? And do you still have those qualities? So would determination be one of them?
That's a good question. And yeah, I remember Mum talking to another mother that she knew, and her daughter had been through similarities. And I remember them wanting to meet, and they found out about me and said, look, we'd love to meet Donna. Her daughter was a young girl and she had all these questions listed for me, and she was so gorgeous. And I remember I could hear in the background Mum saying to that mother, Donna was just so determined, you couldn't stop her and tell her what to do. And I never really saw myself like that. I just thought that that was my normal, whatever normal is. I always sort of say, I think I was the youngest, wanting to keep up with my brother and sisters, even though physically there was some differences. But that determination, yeah, is pretty much probably what carried me through and still does today.
But that's the key quality or the key driver. And stubbornness can do it too.
And just wanting to prove myself, never wanting someone to stop me from doing things. And perhaps that's a little bit of it. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative, but I think maybe I wanted to prove that please don't treat me any differently. I was really striving to be what I sort of always say, so-called normal, whatever that is. But now I look at it in a different way. I don't want to be normal. Why should we all be on normal? Let's celebrate our uniqueness.
Makes it more interesting, doesn't it? One of the mottos that you live by is that there's no such thing as can't. And one of the hats that you wear is that of a life coach. How do you work with clients who have been through perhaps less than you and they are struggling to attain their goal or their desires?
I think it's relative to that person and their needs and wants. Because I do get, you know, some people just recently, someone said to me, oh, I probably shouldn't be complaining about this, Donna. You've been through much worse. And I just go, no, it's okay. You can acknowledge that. And I have no judgment on that. Why should I? It doesn't make me any better than any other person. I think it's all relative, like I said, to a person's individual needs and concerns and wants and whatever it is. So I don't like to judge anyone. Everyone has their own issues and that's part of life.
Are there any parameters in which you actually won't work with a client?
I like to give everyone a chance, but it's probably the reason I don't do one-on-one coaching as much. I do more book coaching. Everyone has their own struggles and challenges. I have been an example of going through many challenges, and not just faced challenges that come my way, but created challenges in my life, as you know from my book. And I really thrive on that. Some people don't. And it's something I like to teach people. So if you do come across a challenge that is not chosen, but is a circumstances out of your control, I like to encourage them in a way that is doable. I like to use what I've called the baby step method. And I really believe in, and it's so obvious what it is, it's doing things in baby steps. I compare it to a child, a baby, a newborn baby. And it's not like the parent just says, well, stop crawling, get up and walk now. We don't do that to babies, do we? We have to be kinder to adults and everyone too, and kinder to ourselves, and not expect things to happen just like that. And remind ourselves that because there are people that come with goals and want to achieve lots of amazing things. And I need to put it through a step, a baby step plan, whatever the goal is for them and break it down. You've always got the bigger picture. Let's break this down in steps and make it doable, and also celebrate after you've achieved that baby step, because I think people can really be hard on themselves and it doesn't do anyone good. It just gets you angry and upset if you have these big expectations of yourself, because I think if you do it gradually and see yourself progress, you've got to remind yourself where you come from too. Looking back is not a bad thing, to just compare, hey, this is where I came from and now look where you are, even if you haven't completed it yet.
I remember reading up on grief. It said something along the lines of, you wake up and it's time, you make yourself a cup of tea, make the bed. This is if you're going through grief, right? The fact that you can make a cup of tea for yourself or put food on the table, they're all steps that help you make progress out of that grief or working through grief or whatever it is. Going back to the baby step method for a moment, that was partly inspired by you working with people with disabilities. What have you learned about the human spirit as a result of working in that industry?
I learned this before even working in that industry because of what I went through, but gratitude. What I've also learned is it doesn't matter what your capabilities and abilities, everyone has some sort of goal they want to achieve. So like you're saying about getting up, having a cup of tea, getting out of bed and that sort of stuff, whether it's big or small. I've seen people that are in a severe disabled situation physically. I've worked with people like that and we just like, oh, I made a big hoo-ha about it, give them a round of applause, whereas anyone else, if they were watching us, would think, what the? So I just noticed to appreciate the small things in life. And that's probably why the baby step method comes in the picture all the time, because they are small things, they're gradual things that mean a lot to someone, whereas it may not mean a lot to you or me. Everyone's got those sort of goals, like I said. So it's made me realize it doesn't matter how big your goal or what your abilities are. We all have something that we want to achieve.
Without question.
Yeah.
You call yourself an adventurer. Now, here's something for challenges for you, because I know you like them. Tell us two things that have challenged you, put you in the zone of discomfort or fear, and then helped you grow as a person.
That's an interesting question, because I've got to the stage, and I don't know when it was. Maybe it was from early on in life, but I don't like to have fear of many things. Just to let everyone know, at the end of 2012, which was many years after the stroke, I tried running for the first time and I only made it to 30 steps after a few goes. I was pretty excited about that though, especially because I didn't fall, which I'm prone and scared of doing sometimes, but running was a new thing for me. So there were very wobbly steps, but I did it on my own. And after that, it brought excitement to me. I wanted to learn to run again. I thought, who can help me? Can I get a coach? And then I did a fundraiser and I thought, I really want to give back, support the Royal Children's Hospital, who saved my life more than once, and so many other children. I had this sort of idea that I was super excited about. Yeah, and there were challenges along the way, but it's breaking it down again. Like, I wasn't just from 30 steps to a marathon, looked really ridiculous and huge and scary, I suppose. But breaking it down into, my first challenge was to do the Australia Day 5.3K fun run. That was my very first fun run ever. And I remember thinking, oh my God, have I got time to do this? Because I'd only started to learn in November, and this has been know Australia Day is January. That was the first step. And then after achieving that, and I always refer to this as probably one of the biggest moments, and even comparing to the marathon, people go, is the marathon the biggest moment? And I just thought, no, the 5.3K fun run was the first step that I said to myself, I did this. It just gave me so much confidence. At the end of the race, you get a medal, and I was happy like a child and you get this show bag. And if you were there, you'd just be laughing or whatever, going, what is this girl on? But I was just super excited, and I had the support because I had people following me on social media, and just that excitement to say, hey, I achieved that. Okay, my next step is a 10K. And it just given me so much confidence after that first step. When you were talking about coaching before and things like that, just doing the first step is major to build your confidence. That's why I like to break it down, because if you're struggling just for the goal of 42.2Ks from 30 steps, it can get hard and you can go, really, what am I doing? But if you break it down into small steps and achieve those along the way, that's what really gave me confidence. It helped me, I suppose, face that fear Yeah, but it was really a journey and excitement for me doing that. It might sound funny to people because I just will go 42.2K, but it was all part of the journey of running the marathon, raising funds for the Royal Children's Hospital, inspiring so many people along the way, writing my book. And it was just kind of a great time in my life that I really learned a lot about myself, I suppose, and other people, the responses that I got, and then speaking as well. It's been a great journey. I'm so glad I've done that. But I don't know if there was a fear in it or not.
It was certainly was a challenge, though. There's no way.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess you approached it differently. You approached it as you teach others now through baby steps incrementally. So you learned about confidence, where you gained confidence from that. What stood out for you the most as to what you got from it in terms of the inner work that you'd done?
Yeah, good question. I teach other people this as well when I do keynote speaking, and that to be kind to myself, because I remember going through tough days. I'd train on my own. I wasn't always with my coach every day. There'd be times where I'd have to walk and really struggling and just saying to myself, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Or hopeless, Donna, you can do better than that and get your ass in gear. But my coach said to me when I sort of sharing how I felt at times and saying in a way that kind of put myself down, and he's going, Donna, would you tell your friend that? He said to me, be your best friend. You've got to speak to yourself better and encourage yourself. You're going to have times where you're by yourself and not to be so hard on yourself. And I really took a lot away from that. And we do it. We don't have to be training for a marathon. We do it all the time. For some reason, we can be so hard on ourselves, whether we're saying it out loud or internally. That was a really big lesson, funnily enough, out of all of the things that I was doing with that training. Was just to be my best friend. I have friends, but just in those moments, because I compare it to, say, I was running with a friend and she or he had to slow down and said to me, Donna, look, can we just walk for a while? Because I just feel like I need to. I wouldn't be saying, oh, you're stupid, you're hopeless, that sort of thing to my friend. I would be going, checking in. Are you okay? Are you in any pain? Yeah, let's just walk. You know, we're moving, so that's great. Just walking. And I had to really learn to change my thoughts. And I've done that in life now, not just training for a marathon. So yeah, it was a big takeaway.
So it sets you up for other life challenges in a good way.
Yeah, definitely.
You talk about what we've just kind of explored. You write about in your book, The Unlikely Marathoner. In your latest book, Change is Not a Scary Word, you gather the stories of 10 influencers. What criteria did you have when selecting these people to actually take part in the project?
I wanted people to share their story because I knew that they had a major change in their life, and to share that with the readers because I really wanted to inspire people to be able to face change, whether it's through circumstances out of their control or whether it's a decision that people want to make. Hey, I want to change and go from here to here. I think the idea came to me in February 2020, where it was just after the new decade, the new year, and everyone sets all these major goals. And I was noticing a lot on Facebook, hey, it's 2020, I want to change, do this, that, and the other. And I love that. But I know my experiences by April, some of those big, huge goals and, you know, ideals and everything, they're not important, or people get distracted or whatever. Then there's some people that just don't know how to. And that's what I really wanted to help people with. These people had been through all sorts of different changes. They shared their story, where they came from, where they are now, but in between sharing lessons for the reader to give them tips, I suppose, on how they too can change. It's one of those books that, because there's 10 chapters and there's 10 different authors, including myself, it's a book where you can just pick it up at any time, really. If you want sort of some sort of motivation, you don't have to read it from cover to cover. That's what I really love about it too. There's going to be some authors that you connect with more than others, perhaps.
That's good. Do these people have one quality in common?
Yes, they all had the common thread of changing their mindset, whether it's a physical change or a mental one. Even if it is a physical change that you're faced with, like a challenge physically, you really have to change your mindset and shift that to be able to change. Yeah.
Thank you. Mindset. Coming up again, mindset.
Am I repeating myself? I hope not.
No, it's just one of those things that you have to be serious about. If you want to make change happen in your life, it's about changing mindset. And that takes courage. People get stuck in their ways, or they don't, you know, they've got, we all have blind spots, you know.
Definitely.
So mindset is definitely coming up as something that is important to look at. With the books that you have written, which one stands out as being the most challenging to write?
Interesting question. I had been writing The Unlikely Marathon. I had been writing before I even did the marathon. So that'd been going on for years, sitting in cafes, writing notes and everything. I have a younger sister. She's 11 and a half years younger than me. So she wasn't around when I had the stroke. And I sort of remembered her once when I was talking to mum about it, and she was there in the room, and she said, I didn't know that. Whatever story we were talking about. She said, I didn't know that. And I said, oh, you can ask me whatever. And she said, oh, I wasn't sure if that was something that you wanted to talk about. And I said, look, feel free to ask anything. Then that gave me the idea, maybe I should write this book for my little sister. And then it just snowballed. And like, it wasn't just about my story as in an autobiography. It was also when the marathon happened, I thought, I want to make this into a how-to book. How can I help others achieve their goals? It was a bit of a mix of both. And the challenging thing about that was just making the time to do it. And then I just knuckled down in November 2016 and just got it done and just made a plan and did steps and everything. Sometimes when I would write my own stories, as in sharing my life at 7 years of age and that sort of thing, there was times that even made me quite emotional. I don't know how much you read of the book, but there's a story about Brendan, another sick boy in hospital. That sort of thing is what taught me many years ago about gratitude.
Thinking about him, did it make you feel sad or emotional? Because I don't think he came out of hospital, did he?
No.
Was that what made you sad, thinking about that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So it's appreciating life, really, what I have. And, you know, there were other children that didn't come out of hospital and didn't make it. I was in a hospital for a couple of months, and you'd have people come and go, but then you'd sometimes, you know, people would stay longer and you'd develop friendships and so forth. My mother always used to say to me, even at a young age when I was in hospital, Donna, there's always someone worse off than you, just to teach me gratitude. At the time, as a child and being sick, I thought, I don't want anyone to be worse than me. I was thinking about it that way. But of course, I know, growing older, you understand what she meant, and she was right. So those probably were the hard times to write that in an emotional way. I've had many people tell me after the book, oh, Donna, you had me in tears. And I said, well, I didn't want the whole book to be about that. I hope you laughed as well. And they say, oh, yeah, we laughed because I made some stories that were funny, and it was just with my humour, which is silly at times. But I didn't want it to be a whole story and book about people getting into tears about it. So that's probably the one that's most connected to me, because I share my full story and there's so much more that I haven't. Like I said to someone recently, I was writing for years before The Unlikely Marathon with other stories when I was 7 and the trials I had been through and stuff. So a lot of it isn't even in that book. Maybe that's another book. I don't know.
Maybe a book in the making, Donna.
I don't know if I want to repeat myself all the time either. Maybe I should do something different. I said, it sort of changed angles and changed directions. It started off as all about my story and my life, but I really wanted to make it a story about helping other people too.
And that's what it turned out to be, definitely. The next few questions I ask all of my guests. What does courage mean to you?
Yes. What comes to me straight away is facing your fears. And an extension of that is also being brave enough to get out of your comfort zone. Yeah. Because there's a lot of people, I should say, that like to stay within their comfort zone, and that's fine, each to their own. But when you're stepping out of your comfort zone and doing something that maybe, like we were saying before, is that you're fearful of, or I have to do this because I have someone else relying on me, being brave for other people in your life. There's a heap of narrative around that, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You stated that ex-member of parliament and legendary marathon runner Pat Farmer is someone that you find courageous and who influenced you in your life. He did a 20,000-kilometre pole-to-pole run, which is phenomenal. And
yes, the North Pole to the South.
Oh, my gosh. And he shared his story.
Awesome man.
He shared his story in your book, Change is Not a Scary Word. Is this how you actually got to meet and know him?
No, I didn't. Change is Not a Scary Word. He's not in that. He actually wrote the foreword to The Unlikely Marathoner.
Ah, yes. Yeah. I did read that. Yep.
And I only met him when I was doing the fundraising for the Royal Children's Hospital, and I wanted to do, well, I did do it, a fundraising dinner. I was looking for a guest speaker, so I didn't even know him before that. My coach mentioned him, so I looked him up, as you do, and I thought, this man's amazing. I sent him a message, as you do, on Facebook, and he came back to me and said, yes, I'd love to be a guest speaker because I wanted someone who was inspirational and motivated the audience and guests. I sent him a little video clip that I had sent to a lot of people. It was like the first video that came out even on Facebook of me talking about my story and what I wanted to do to inspire other people and raise funds. It really moved him. He said, I was taken aback and really quite emotional after watching that, and he really wanted to support what I was doing. He was a great support and influencer in the running world for me, but in so many other ways, he's just a really awesome man.
Off the running field, how did he influence you?
Just the strength that he has and the mindset, no excuses, just go out and do it kind of attitude, which is a similar mindset to what I have. He's real as well. Just a gorgeous person. And I know his daughter as well. She wanted to meet me when I was in Sydney last. You can see that he's really brought up his children well even, and he's faced adversity himself, challenges in life, as in, I know he tells his story, so it's okay for me to share, but he lost his wife from cancer at a young age. It was too young. We could be late on that side of things as well, because I just had lost my brother that same year. So we relate on a lot of levels.
What's the connection there? My final question, are you courageous?
I don't know. I'll have to ask someone. I'd like to think I am, yeah.
I'd like to think I am, you know, running 42 kilometres after having a stroke and not having ran more than 30 steps and then do what they did. That's courageous. And you love your challenges.
Thank you. Yeah, I do. I mean, some people just shake their head, like my father sometimes shakes his head and goes, oh, what's she doing next? But it's all good fun. It's all part of life. And it's just about giving it a go. Using my father as an example, he was quite worried at the time, and he even told me the evening we went out to celebrate after the marathon, and he said, Donna, look at my fingers. I was just like picking my fingers and like getting really nervous, waiting for you, sort of worried that you wouldn't make it to the end. And I said, what if I didn't? I'm all about giving things a go. And hey, I went past the start line and gave it a go. And if I didn't, I would probably be disappointed myself, but I would still be proud what I accomplished, even if it was having to stop halfway or whatever. It was a very challenging day. I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. If anyone thinks that she trained for 11 months, it must have been a breeze. It wasn't.
My gosh, to me, you're definitely courageous. You definitely have a level of resilience and grit, I think, more than a lot of other people out there. Not that we're comparing, of course. Thank you so much for being on Courage Unraveled. I really appreciated our conversation today. Donna is an inspiration without question. Her books, service offerings, and contact details can be found in the show notes under courageunraveled.com/podcasts. Under Donna Campese, Series 4, Episode 24. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't had the chance to listen to all of the authors in this series, I invite you to do so. If you love what you hear, this is your final opportunity to leave a 5-star review and be in the running to win one of 2 Courage Journals. Take a screenshot of your review and send me an email before April 30th, 2021. I loved putting together the author series, and I hope that you're inspired enough to move forward in your own courage after hearing my guests share their stories. To be a friend of Courage Unraveled, sign up to my free newsletter via courageunraveled.com. You will also find information on Courage Unraveled services, the Courage Journal, and how to receive benefits by being a Patreon supporter via the website. I'm Sana Turnock, your Courage Unraveled host. Until series 5.